Thank you, Gabrielle, for that reminder of God's amazing grace. It's what brings us to salvation, and it is grace that will lead us home through all of eternity. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah and chapter 17. I may need to give you a little extra time. You know, if you say Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, people can find that. But Jeremiah might take a little extra moment. Jeremiah and chapter 17. Now, I saw our brother Robert down here before the service, and he asked me if I was preaching, and I told him a little bit. So we'll see. We'll see if I can keep my promise of a little bit. I asked Pastor, you know, do you want me to preach in the morning and the evening? And he said, yes. And I said, well, how's that going to go? What do you want me to do? And he said, well, just keep it short and, you know, say what you need to say and then be done. So he must know something about me. I don't know. It's like my reputation has preceded me. Although I was proud of myself. This morning, I think, was the shortest I've ever preached in a morning service at Stanley Heights. I even preached shorter than the one time that I got up here and I left half my notes. I still managed to preach longer than I did this morning. So y'all are, I'm learning, hopefully. Hopefully, I'm coming along. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verses 5 through 10. I'm going to address tonight a subject that seems very basic. We're going to talk about trust. Look at the question, who do you trust? You say, Pastor Ed, you only seem to deliver very basic, obvious messages. This morning you talked about contentment. Tonight you're talking about trusting. Well, maybe that's just where I am. Maybe those are the things that God keeps pointing out to me again and again. I don't know if you are at where I am, but I find that again and again, the simplest truths seem to be the ones that I find myself struggling the most. It's not that I don't know what to do. It's just doing what I know to do. And so God again and again brings these basic building blocks of Christianity and challenges my heart. Maybe that's true for you tonight as well, that as we go through life, finding the need again and again at every stage to learn to trust God. And as we come to Jeremiah chapter 17, we're in a very dark time in Israel's history. Israel has already been carried off. Judah is remaining in the time of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is bringing basically messages of judgment to Judah. And the message of these prophets is becoming more and more relevant in today's world. As we see the world around us growing darker, and as we see the world headed more and more towards judgment, the message of these prophets is something that we can relate to more and more. Here at the beginning of chapter 17, we find Judah's sins listed. And they may not be the specific sins that we see in our lives today, but we know that certainly we live in such a day as Jeremiah lived, where men's hearts are farther and farther from God's truth and from His Word. And good is called evil, and evil is called good. And just to stand for what's right and true is a very controversial thing. And Jeremiah was very controversial in his day for proclaiming what was true. So as we come to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 10, I'll read it. We'll look at God's word tonight. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Let's pray and ask for God's help tonight. Father, take your word, use it in my heart and in our hearts, Lord, that we be challenged in our trust, that we would analyze, that we would evaluate whom are we trusting. Speak to us tonight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We come here and we see the quandary that Judah was in. Who were they going to trust in? Who was dependable? These people had every opportunity to trust God. They had the law. They had the prophets. They had seen mighty works done by God. They had the sacrificial system. They had access to God. They had kings that were set up and taken down by God. God's special people, every opportunity to trust God, and yet they failed to do so. They knew what God wanted from them, but they did not have the heart to do it. They had to decide whether trusting and obeying God was worth it. When I think of Christians today, I think there are some parallels. We live in a wicked day where trusting God is going to be maybe more difficult than it was 50 or 100 years ago. When following God's word maybe will have a little bit less of a guaranteed outcome than it might have at a different time. And we have to trust our God. We have to decide if He is indeed worth trusting, worth following. So I present tonight two ways to live: the self-dependent life or the God-dependent life. Present to you, first of all, the self-dependent life. And I would submit to you, the self-dependent life is not worth living. The self-dependent life, we find in verses 5, 6, and 9. And self is not dependable. It does not sustain. It cannot last. It can last short term, but in long term, depending on self is an empty promise. Under this point of the self-dependent life, I would say, first of all, don't trust in man. He isn't worth depending on. Don't trust in man. He isn't worth leaning on. If you trust in man, then you aren't trusting in God, and your heart is departing from Him. This morning we touched on the fact you cannot serve God and mammon. I would submit to you tonight that you cannot trust God and man. Now, we can look to men in some capacity, men that God puts up over us, but ultimately our trust needs to be in God and God Himself. Verse 5 says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. The best of men will fail. The best among us is nothing but flesh and blood. And if you trust in God, you're trusting in one who will not fail. So first of all, don't trust in man. He's not worth you're depending on. Secondly, don't trust in political figures. They aren't strong enough. Don't trust in political figures. They're not strong enough. That second expression there, that maketh flesh his arm. It's not a phrase we would really use today. But the idea here is to look to something for a stronghold, to look to something that's strong enough to protect us. If you've ever seen, these have become quite popular in recent years. You'll have somebody, maybe a CEO of a company that makes bulletproof glass. I saw one of these little short videos the other day. The CEO of a bulletproof glass company, he gets into a vehicle that has his bulletproof glass installed, and he sits behind the wheel, and they get somebody there with an automatic rifle and takes like 15, 20 shots at that windshield. And you see it all making pock marks on the windshield, but none of them make it through. None of the shots can penetrate. Or maybe you've seen the CEO of a body armor company, and they're putting on their bulletproof vest, and the CEO will take a shot from close range just to show, look, see, I'm protected, I'm safe. Nothing can harm me, I'm protected. This is the idea of making flesh your arm. What do you look to say, this can keep me safe? This is going to be able to protect me. I can trust in this. And for Judah at this time, they were putting their trust in political alliances. You see, the Babylonians were going to eventually overrun and take them away. And they're looking at Babylon and they're thinking, how do we get out of this one? We're just a tiny country. We were tiny when we were Israel together, but now we're just Judah. How can we possibly stand against such a massive foe? And so in their human wisdom, they said, we know, we'll make alliances with Egypt. Because as we all know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? So if I can find somebody that also hates Babylon, and I can line up with them, then I'll be good. And so Judah was looking to Egypt, to Assyria, to other nations around to say, maybe they can bail us out. Humanly speaking, not the worst strategy. But the problem is that it left God out. They were looking to political figures, they were looking to political alliances to come to their rescue. Can that be possible today? If we could only get the right people in office, if we could only get the right legislation passed, and praise God for it, for every political leader, for every piece of God-honoring legislation that's passed. This week, as many of you know, there was quite the victory, as we would consider it, from a standpoint of honoring life and seeing things God's way. But is our hope really in politicians? If you've lived long enough, you know to say no. They may be with you today and against you tomorrow, and the winds of political change are constantly on the move. Those who have common cause with us can be tempting to put our trust in. But is flesh your arm? Is that the thing you look to protect you from the evils of this world around you? Judah was caused to depart from trusting in the Lord by trusting in political alliances. Anything that takes away your trust is taking God's place. Anything other than God Himself and God alone is a misdirection. So don't trust in political figures. Thirdly, I submit to you this evening, don't trust your heart. Verse 5 there says, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Our heart is unstable. Jump down to verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, I'm sorry to ruin this for you, but the little movie catchphrase, you know, follow your heart, that's not biblical, okay? Our culture has very much bought into this to say, just find what you want. What is your dream? What is your desire? Self-actualize. Get to the point where you are happy. Follow your heart. Be true to yourself and who you are. And God says, no, your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Verse 5 tells us our hearts depart from the Lord. One of the songs we'll sing here often says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And then we make the prayer, here's my heart. Lord, take and seal it. God, I can't trust myself. We should know that we can't rely on our hearts, and yet we often do. We trust what we feel and not what we know. Proverbs 12:14 says to us, there is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, our gauge, our indicator is broken. Our little sensor light may be on green and saying, yes, everything is great. But on the inside, we're being deceived. We're believing a lie. We're going astray. We're buying what the world says and not what God says. We are unfortunately incredibly good at deceiving ourselves. We are our own worst enemies because we don't tell ourselves the truth. How many of you have over your lifetime been around someone that doesn't necessarily always tell the truth? And over time, what ends up happening is you don't look to that person anymore, right? You don't see them as reliable. You kind of distance yourself from them because who wants a friend who's a liar? And yet, we are our own worst friend, if we can say it that way. We constantly feed ourselves things that are not true. Our emotions are not dependable. Our heart is desperately wicked. And we cannot trust ourselves to defeat this problem on our own. We need an objective source of truth. We need truth being spoken into our lives that is not passed through our filter. Verse 9 is an honest look at the condition of our hearts. Thankfully, God loves us in spite of how wicked we are. Every part of us is affected, and so we cannot be trusted. And yet God doesn't turn away. He offers us the opportunity to be rooted in Him. And we'll look at that in a moment. But look at verse 6. Look at the picture that the prophet, under inspiration, puts out for us. Look at verse 6. For he shall be, this is the one who trusts in man, he shall be like the heath or shrub in the desert, and shall not see good when it cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land, and not inhabited. How many of you have ever been to a desert like what's being described here, a true wilderness? Maybe if you've lived out west, maybe if you've seen in the Holy Land, maybe if you've seen maybe other parts of the world with deserts. I've had the opportunity to drive through and to be near places like that. I haven't stayed very long for some reason. There just wasn't anything there to hold me in the desert, in the wilderness. But if you've been around sandy desert places, you know what it's like to see the scrub brush that's there. Little tiny, weak, dried out, little nothing plants. I had a picture I was going to put up and I forgot to send it to the men, but you can probably picture it in your mind. A shrub that's just barely holding on. You're like, how does that even make it? It's like a glorified weed, right? That's just barely there. I was talking recently to some of our folks who've been to Texas and talking about tumbleweeds. And if you've ever seen a tumbleweed, that's kind of the idea of what's happening here. You have these things that grow up, and then eventually they're going to dry up, and they're going to break loose, and they're going to be unmoored. Their roots are very weak. They're not permanent. They don't have a consistent water supply. So you get the seasonal rains, right? The seasonal rains come through the desert or the wilderness, and things bloom up, blossom up, and then what happens after a time? When you get to the dry season, they dry out. Some die. Some just kind of barely hang on. God says that's the person who trusts in man. Just barely hanging on. Don't be a shrub. You'll be like a weak desert shrub, useless and worthwhile, missing out on the good things, living in a parched place. You know what the tragedy of this shrub in a parched place is? That's all it's ever going to know. In contrast, think of how we're supposed to be when we are in a dry and thirsty land. Psalm 63 in verse 1, many of you know, talks about how my soul, my heart, longs after you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. That's to be our heart after God when we find ourselves in a dry and thirsty place, to say, God, I need you to satisfy me. But the shrub that's being described here will never see good when it comes. We'll never know what it could be. Don't be one of these worthless shrubs with no anchor, no lasting fruit, no stability, going wherever the wind takes you. Don't be a shrub. Instead, we want to see, be a tree. Look at the contrast down in verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Do you want to be a shrub? Then place your trust in man. Do you want to be a tree? Then place your trust in God. A tree is one that grows strong and tall, has a good root system. We know that a tree has to have water. Where do you find big, strong, healthy-looking trees? You have to find them in a place where they can access water. You don't find them out in the desert, out in the wilderness where there is no water. What's the comparison here? Water is found in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. To know Him is to know life. Without Him, we are dry. Without Him, we will be barren and unfruitful. But the tree doesn't fear in the difficult times, when heat comes, when the drought comes. Several places in our country and even across our world are experiencing this now. Water shortages. Where my sister is in Mexico, and then even across different parts of the Western United States, they're experiencing this lack of water, and it's truly a scary thing. Think of what it's like in a time of drought, not to be afraid of lacking water, because your water supply is guaranteed. The Bible says this tree, metaphor for a person, doesn't have to fear when difficult time come. It has roots that stretch deep, that reach the water. It doesn't have to depend on the occasional passing rain. This is a tree that is substantial, that is grounded, that is stable. And I ask you and I ask myself tonight, how is our relationship with God? Can it weather the storm? It's easy when things are good, right? When the rains come, when everything is watered, when everything is green and looking good. But what about when the dry season comes? What about when you're not sure the next time you're going to get what you thought you needed? So this is the God-dependent life. The difference between these two is where they draw their strength. What are they depending on? One depends on man, the other depends on God. The difficult time will come. The shrub is going to face the dry time. The tree is going to face the dry time. But only one can weather that storm. And if you place your trust in God, you'll be blessed. You'll be like the well-rooted, well-watered tree. This will lead to endurance, to stability. Conversely, if you find yourself in the midst of a difficult time and you find yourself drying up, you might need to go back and examine, what is my relationship with God? To borrow another metaphor from John 15, am I abiding in the vine? Am I connected to the source of life, the one who gives me the ability to bear fruit? So place your trust in God, second, and be blessed. Secondly, place your trust in God to do right, to be the just judge. Can you trust God to do right? Look at verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God searches our heart, and then that other phrase there, the reins, that means our innermost parts, our innermost secrets. And he's going to be the judge that's going to make everything right. You ever feel that life isn't fair? There's somebody over there that should look like a shrub, but instead they look like a tree. They're not trusting in God, and yet their leaf is flourishing. They're seeming to do well, even when everyone else is going through difficulty. They're not getting chopped down. God, that's not fair. God, I've done right. I've trusted you. I've left all to follow after you. And look what I'm getting. God, it's not fair. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We're challenged here. Who do you trust? Do you trust your own evaluation? Do you trust your timing and your sense of judgment and justice? He says, I, the Lord, search the heart, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Was Judah being treated fairly by God? Yes or no? Some would say yes. Some would say no. Did they deserve to be judged? Yes. Yes, they did. And yet, what was God doing? He was in his mercy, allowing chance after chance after chance. And sometimes we look from the outside at somebody else who hasn't gotten God's judgment yet, and we think, God, it's not fair. You haven't been true to your word. They're not getting what they deserve. And God says, I'm going to make it right. Don't count the Lord's long-suffering, his patience, don't count it as slackness, that he's not going to do what he said. Understand that he is patient. He is long-suffering to us. He gives us chance after chance after chance. Realize that God is going to make things right. Even though we can't trust our hearts, we can trust God. He is merciful, long-suffering, giving plenty of opportunities to turn, to repent. Will we look to the correct source for life? We can choose to trust in human strength and be cursed. We can turn to God and trust in his strength and know blessing. Those who do will be protected and preserved, even though they go through difficult times. They can continue to bear fruit, even in drought, because their strength is not found in passing rain. They have roots that run deep. If we call out to anyone else, if we look to anyone or anything else for deliverance, we'll be let down, we'll be disappointed, we'll find that man will fail us again and again. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Who do you listen to? What do you base your decisions on? Who influences your thinking? Could you say tonight that you trust man? Could you say tonight that you trust in God? Let's stand, and we'll be closed with a word of prayer.